we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us here on the program. Walker Wildman in studio on this edition of the show. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcast. And whether it's Apple device, Android, Spotify, all the different apps out there where you can download podcasts, that's where we are. And the AFR app is the most important thing I want to highlight while I'm mentioning these items, because it's 100% owned, operated, and managed by American Family Radio. So if you want to avoid the big tech censors and the big tech referees that tell you what you can and can't hear, then download the American Family Radio app. That mobile app is available on various devices and app stores, Roku, Apple TV, iOS, Android, and the list goes on. Amazon Alexa, by the way, you can talk to your Alexa and tell it to play American Family Radio, and it will. And you can specify which show you want to listen to, and it'll play the most recent podcast. Or you can give it instructions on which day you want to listen to. So there's a lot of neat features there. But be sure to download the American Family Radio app on your mobile device. You'd be surprised how many people don't have the AFR app on their phone. They listen to AFR. They listen to our radio network. But when I'm with people, I was with over 100 supporters in Washington, D.C. last week, and I asked by the raising of hands, how many of you have the app? Like five or six people had the app. This bus had about 55 people on it, but only six or seven people had the AFR app. So the opportunity out there for our AFR audience to download the AFR app is tremendous, and there's a lot of room for growth there. So be sure to download the American Family Radio app. And we're picking up listeners, folks, from places where we don't even have radio stations. We're picking up listeners from the state of Washington, California, Florida. We got one station in Jacksonville, but we don't cover the rest of Florida. We're picking up listeners all around the country through the app that don't even have a terrestrial radio station. So it's pretty neat there at the opportunity. Nonetheless, let's turn our attention to the scriptures and jump into the show today. Psalm 129 is where we are. Psalm 129. Looking at verse 5, may all who hate Zion, talking about Israel, be turned back in shame. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. That's Psalm 129, verse 5. But boy, how prevalent today. I mean, obviously, at the time of this writing in the Old Testament, it was timely. But the struggle over the land of Israel and the Jewish people is still prevalent today. It's timeless. And that really is really exhibit A as to the spiritual nature of what's going in Israel. The fact that when the writer, some umpteen thousand years ago, wrote about Zion, wrote about Israel, wrote about the Jewish people, when God wrote about this, that is still applicable and prevalent today. And as is the entirety of Scripture, not just this segment, but the entirety of Scripture is very much applicable, alive, and breathing today. And so we should take note on that, and we should read and study Scripture looking for how we can apply it to our lives today. It's not only a historical book, but it's also the inspired Word of God that's living, breathing, and active. And Scripture says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So that's Psalm 129, verse 5. One more housekeeping item is the tours, the spiritual heritage tours that we're leading with my dad and my brother in 2025. We went ahead and opened registration. So we're going to our usuals, Washington, D.C., Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown. And then we added a new leg, and that is Boston. So we're going to Boston in October of 2025, just about 12 months out. So we're going to do Washington, Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, and then Boston, three separate tours in 2025. So you can go to wildmangroup.com and check those out, wildmangroup.com and check those out. And then, Lord willing, this conflict in the Middle East, in Israel, will at some point cool down, and we can resume our trips to the Holy Land, which are a bucket list item for many, many people. Well, one story I want to get to this segment is the implications of illegal immigration on our nation. And we've all seen the stories and heard the debates about, illegal immigrants, Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, and the reports of them eating people's pets. And the debate, this was discussed at the presidential debate several weeks ago. J.D. Vance, the vice presidential pick for President Trump, has been talking about this when he's on CNN and other platforms. But one point that I want to hammer home while discussing this subject is that on its face, illegal immigration, and even legal immigration to a degree, has a vast negative effect on our nation. I don't need crazy stories about people eating people's pets or an illegal immigrant raping and murdering a college-age student to nail home the point that illegal and in some cases legal immigration is a net negative for America and for the American people. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to just rattle off some stats from our very own U.S. Congress. And this was prepared testimony before the House Judiciary Committee. And this was actually put together by Center for Immigration Studies as a testimony preparation. But nonetheless, this was recorded in the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee. This was published on January 11th of this year, so very timely. But going through this, let me just read the opening ceremony. I just almost sneezed there. That's what Bobby was looking at me like, what's going on?
Whoa.
I've never sneezed on the radio, but I almost did just there. But then I, some reason, held off. But
I heard a spark, and that was
Yeah, I hit the mute button. Nonetheless, focusing back in on this report, let me just read the opening sentence of this report. Illegal immigrants are a net fiscal drain, meaning they receive more in government services than they pay in taxes. Reading the specifics from this report. Folks, listen to this. We're going to link to this in the show notes, all right? But listen to these shocking statistics, and this nails home the point that illegal immigration is a net negative for America. Some 2.7 million inadmissible aliens have been released into the country since Biden was sworn in. And this is, once again, going back to January, so it's more by now. There have also been a reported 1.5 million quote-unquote gotaways that were not apprehended at the border. I think that number is way underestimated. But nonetheless, taking this at face value, there's been over 5 million, between 4 and 5 million illegal immigrants let into America just in the last 3.5 to 4 years. Moving on this report, the Center for Immigration Studies says that we preliminarily estimate that the illegal immigrant population grew to 12.8 million by October of 2023. I think that's, once again, vastly underestimated, but this is just from their report. Let's take it at face value. I think it's vastly underestimated, and here's why. How many illegal immigrants are fleeing America? Think about this. How many illegal immigrants are going back to their home country? Very few. I don't know what the numbers are, but very few. Who leaves America, right? So we're taking in millions and millions, just 4 to 5 million under Biden. And you want to tell me we only got 12.8 million in the country? What about all the illegals that came in under Trump? What about all the illegal immigrants that came in under Obama? What about all the illegal immigrants that came in under Bush? You see what I'm saying here? And that's not factoring in how many kids they're having when they get here. So once again, well underestimated, but nonetheless, 13 million are more illegal immigrants in the country today. I think it's way more than that. Could be 20 or 30. Moving on, let's read some more from this report. Illegal immigrants make extensive use of welfare. Based on government data, we estimate that 59% of households headed by illegal immigrants use one or more welfare programs. Compared, listen to this, compared to 39% of households headed by U.S.-born citizens. Based on their use rate of welfare programs, this study estimates that illegal immigrants receive $42 billion in benefits. Medicaid, food, housing programs are all included in this study. Moving on. In addition to consuming welfare, illegal immigration makes significant use of public education. Based on average cost per student, the estimated 4 million children of illegal immigrants in public schools created a $68 billion price tag just in 2019. Moving on, the use of emergency medical services. When was the last time you went to the emergency room and waited 4 hours? Prior research indicates that there are 6 million uninsured illegal immigrants in the country. That was in 2019. What is it now? The cost of providing care to them likely totals some $7 billion. And lastly here, when you add all of this up, you're well over $100 billion. Really, really several hundred billion dollars when you add them all up. And once again, some of these numbers are old numbers. We're talking 2019. Think about how many illegal immigrants have come to the country since 2019. So you can probably double these numbers. But either way, my point is that illegal immigration is a net negative simply at face value. We don't necessarily have to have horrendous stories of criminals and raping and pillaging and killing and murdering and drug cartels to nail home the point and be on solid moral footing to state that illegal immigration is bad for our nation. Now, those stories that I just mentioned are very compelling, and they ought to be pointed out. We should point out every time an illegal immigrant murders, pillages, steals, etc., that ought to be pointed out. That should be breaking news every single time because it nails home the point that this is not good, folks. But even setting that aside, I don't care if illegal immigrants are angels, saints, whatever, Mother Teresa, I don't care. The reality is that they're breaking into our country, which is immoral and illegal, and then they're making use of all of our resources, which is also immoral and illegal. So this is bad all the way around. There is no moral, legal, logical case in favor of illegal immigration. It's a stain on our country, and it's bad for every single community in this land. I don't need horror stories. I just need the story that illegal immigrants are coming into this nation and eating up $400, $500 billion in our resources every single year.
God raises up leaders who follow his direction and serve him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise his standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie. culturewarrior.movie.
At the Core podcast are available at afr.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Welcome back to The Core. This is second segment underway now, and that was O Come to the Altar by Elevation Worship. This is Worship Wednesday. That's why we play the music coming into the second segment. Well, back to the topic of illegal immigration. We're going to link to this report put out by the Center for Immigration Studies. It was part of a House Judiciary testimony back in January. But it just lays out, the first few pages, it just lays out point by point, why illegal immigration is bad for our nation. And instead, what we ought to do with immigration broadly, legal immigration, is we ought to let a sustainable, moderate amount of people enter our country through the legal immigration process. There's a way to go about this in a way that's beneficial, mutually beneficial for the people coming into our nation, and beneficial to the American people who are already here, the American citizens. And this can be done. It's legal immigration. We already do it right now. We let in some 1 million a year legally through the legal process. And those people are assimilated. They're U.S. citizens. They pay taxes. They contribute to society. They sustain jobs. So this is not rocket science. And not all things have to be broken. And stupidity doesn't have to reign supreme. That's the story to it. Anybody who cares about our nation, anybody who is halfway decent, anybody who's rational, you talk to them about why illegal immigration is bad and why legal immigration can be good, and it's a no-brainer. I mean, this is not complicated stuff. But in addition to the illegal immigration track, which I just outlined in the first segment, is horrendous. The results are horrendous. We've also imported, through legal means, whether it be through visa or refugee programs, millions of people that don't like America and don't share our worldview. And if we can be more specific here, at risk of being canceled, I'm talking about the Muslims. When you look at the Muslim false religion, when you look at the Muslim ideology, when you look at Sharia law, it's contrary to American values. It's contrary to the fundamental principles that this nation was founded upon. But furthermore, since 9/11, America has imported millions of foreign nationals through legal immigration processes, whether it be refugee resettlement programs, visa programs, etc. They've been imported into America. This is why Minnesota has at least two Muslim congressional representatives. This is why I read an article the other day about a city, I don't know whether it was Minnesota or Michigan, but a city that in the U.S. that was going to begin devoting time to Muslim prayer with the loudspeaker. The city was going to permit this, to have the Muslim call to prayer every hour or so. There are no-go zones in Minnesota where the Muslim neighborhoods are heavily Muslim populated, and officers know that we just don't go in there because we don't want to know what happens in there. And this is where we have to talk frankly about this. And if you take the lies from the mainstream media and the Democrats, then you're going to be convicted before you even make the opening argument on this case of why Muslim immigration into America is a bad idea. Oh, you're xenophobic or whatever, Islamophobic. They come up with all the phobics. You're Islamophobic. You hate Muslims. You're a bigot. You're not American. How dare you? That's what they say. Or they just cancel you. We've seen a little bit of it all. So let me get this right. So we have this thing called a First Amendment. And I'm not supposed to be able to talk about why Muslim immigration is bad for America? And I actually have stats and facts to back up my assertion. I'm not just saying this because I don't like Muslims or because I'm not a Muslim. There are factual reasons. There are factual, ideological, worldview, national security, national identity reasons why we should not voluntarily import millions of Muslims into our nation. And as I told Bobby this morning in our show meeting, it's one thing if we just had a rash of Muslim converts in America and it was just out of control, Muslims just converting everywhere. Are people converting to Islam everywhere? But that's not what's happening, folks. When you look at the numbers, there may be some Muslim converts here, but when you look at the numbers, the vast majority of Muslims in this nation were imported. They were brought over through mostly legal processes. And so when you look at the Islamic religion, when you look at the Muslim religion, which of course is a false religion, but when you look at it, it is fundamentally contradictory to American values. The Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, our Judeo-Christian history. All of these things are, they go directly against Sharia law and the Muslim tenets. And so I would argue our government proactively importing millions of people who we know don't share our values and who we know are hostile to the very principles of what it means to be an American, that is bad, folks. And some could argue it's even treasonous. Why would a government who knows that the people we're bringing in don't believe in anything that we believe in, why would you do that? Why would you do that to a nation? Doesn't that seem to undermine our very national identity and national security to bring in millions of Muslims who fundamentally disagree with everything it means to be an American? I mean, that makes no sense. Aren't government policies supposed to be aiding and equipping and uplifting and building what we currently have, which is the American dream and our system of government, which is rooted fundamentally in Judeo-Christian precepts? I mean, literally everything about our government, if you study American history, everything about our nation is rooted in the Bible. Think about it. Think about our justice system. Why do we have juries? Well, because the Bible talked about juries. Why do we have a jury of peers? Well, because the Bible talked about having a jury of peers. Why do you need multiple witnesses? Because the Bible talks about multiple witnesses. Why do we have judges? Because the Bible talks about judges. Why do we have checks and balances in government with three co-equal branches? Because the Bible talks about how you need multiple people for accountability. A court of three stands is not easily broken. That can be used in a variety of contexts, but it can also be used in this context. Our founding fathers knew, they believed in the book of Genesis, that man is born into sin. We're prone to sin. We're prone to do evil things. So, well, we need checks and balances. We need co-equal branches of government. I mean, God's fingerprints is everywhere on this nation. And bringing in millions of people who we know beforehand don't like America, they don't agree with America, they don't like our values, that's a problem. And the last thing I'll say on this before we move on is that you can pull the whole, you know, I know some Muslims and they're nice people argument, and that's fine. I don't know if that's true. I'm not you. And there may be quote-unquote nice Muslims out there. I'm sure there are. But that's not the point. That's completely missing the point, and that's the most shallow argument man could make. The point is that whether they're quote-unquote moderate Muslims or more Western Muslims, which there are many of those, the point is that the very fundamentals of their religion are at some point going to come into direct conflict with our Constitution. That's the point. If you pledge any sense of allegiance to the Muslim religion and any portion of Sharia law, then at some point or another, it may not be immediately, at some point that's going to come into direct conflict with our Constitution, with our entire Bill of Rights, with our Declaration of Independence, and more specifically and importantly with our Judeo-Christian history as a nation which underpins everything that we do and that we believe in this nation. Moving on, I want to make sure I get to this before we wrap up this segment. The Josh Shapiro is the governor of Pennsylvania, and he was visiting with Vladimir Zelensky, which he's in the U.S. for the U.N. meeting, the president of Ukraine. And they went to a weapons maker, a weapons manufacturer in actually in Pennsylvania, which makes sense because Shapiro's the governor of Pennsylvania. And it was in actually Biden's hometown in Pennsylvania. So all of these factors are coming together. But nonetheless, the governor's being blasted because he was taken a picture of signing a missile that was reportedly going to be sent over to Ukraine in their war against Russia. He was signing this missile as some, you know, gloating, proud moment in our alliance with Ukraine. But the really unspoken irony of it all is, I wonder if Benjamin Netanyahu came over, which he has. I wonder if the Democrat governor of Pennsylvania, who is a Jew, by the way, would meet with Netanyahu and go to a weapons manufacturer with Netanyahu and sign a missile with Netanyahu that was going to be used against Hamas or Hezbollah. It's just a good question, and I wish reporters would ask this. Because Netanyahu's actually been over here, and Biden and Harris actually snubbed him at the airport, didn't meet him, didn't go to his speech at Congress, which in and of itself is a scandal. But get this, the Jewish Democrat governor of Pennsylvania meets Vladimir Zelensky at a bomb maker in Pennsylvania and makes this big, you know, deal about signing a bomb that's going to be used against Russians. But Netanyahu comes over here, and Biden and Harris don't even show up. And I don't know. I'll do some research. Maybe Shapiro did greet Netanyahu when he came over. Maybe. I don't know. But would Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, go to a weapons manufacturer with Netanyahu and sign a missile that was going to be used against Hamas or Hezbollah? It's an interesting question. Because they didn't mind going and parading with Zelensky. So, a lot of hypocrisy in the Democrat Party. And we'll continue highlighting it. We'll be back in a few. By the way, we do have George Barna coming up. Stay tuned.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the program. Just to put a bow on this whole Democrats and Israel and the cheerleading for Zelensky in Ukraine, but the silence or even the dissing of Israel with their war against terrorists. Back several months ago when Vice President Harris, who was crowned the presidential nominee without even a process taking place, whenever there was rumblings about who her VP pick would be, actually Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania was talked about pretty extensively. And listen to what this just gets into the mind of the Democrats and how they actually, like, there's a lot of Jews that are Democrats in America, most of them secular Jews, but nonetheless, they really have a problem with Israel. It's rather ironic. But Rick Giordano, he is a Democrat voter in Pennsylvania, and he was questioned about, hey, what do you think if Josh Shapiro was the VP pick for Vice President Harris, now presidential nominee? And he said, I would like to see Josh, but he said, but I'm a little worried with this being Jewish. This dude said this out loud. He said, it doesn't affect me, and I don't think it affects him. Which, why would it? But he ends the quote by saying, but I worry about the rest of the country, and if that would hurt the ticket. I hope not. So even Democrat voters are saying the quiet part out loud that, you know, Vice President Harris really couldn't pick a Jew to be a running mate because that might hurt their chances at the ballot box. Why? because there's a lot of Muslims in this country. That's the truth. That's the quiet part that they're not saying out loud, is that a large contingent of the Democrat voting base is Muslim. And the ironies are at every turn. Jumping to our next guest, Dr. George Barna is back with us on the program. He's a director of research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. And the latest report out from Dr. Barna is that the research that Barna and Arizona Christian University conducted suggests that worldview may be key to America's mental health crisis. Dr. Barna is with us now. Hey, Dr. Barna, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Walker, good to be with you again.
Well, Dr. Barna, this report that you guys just put out in September this month is not surprising, but it's rather new data to see that the way people view the world and the way they're brought up and taught has an effect on their mind and their mental health down the road in the years to come. So give us a little background around this study.
Yeah, essentially, this is a report we put out yesterday, and it's based on research that shows there's a pretty strong connection between your worldview, what you think is truth, what you think matters, whether or not God exists, what your purpose on earth is, all those kinds of things that constitute your worldview. That has a very direct impact on your mental health. And so the bottom line on this is that we found that there's very significant correlation between people who have a biblical worldview and people who do not struggle with mental health issues such as anxiety, depression, fear, and suicidal thoughts. The people who are most likely to regularly have those kinds of problems, anxiety and stress, depression, fear, feeling fear and insecurity, they're the people who are least likely to have a biblical worldview. And, so it's a significant connection to make, because what it says is, you know what, a lot of the treatment solutions that mental health professionals are coming up with probably have nothing to do with the real issues that people are struggling with. If you don't believe there's a God, you believe basically your God. Yeah, boy, that would give me anxiety. That would make me depressed. That would cause me to be suicidal some days, you know, but that's really not any kind of a biological or chemical issue. And so no matter what kind of drugs you prescribe for that, no matter how many counseling sessions I have for that, it's not going to treat it until I recognize I'm not God. There is a God. He's in control. He created me. He loves me. He gives me a purpose. And when I recognize those things and work with him rather than deny his existence and work against him, thinking that I'm in charge, I'm in control, it's all about me, until I recognize that kind of dichotomy, I'm still going to have depression, anxiety, and stress.
Yeah, I'm reminded of a story of a judge out of, I think, North Carolina, maybe South Carolina, but nonetheless, he was a family court judge, and I've got his book in my office. But nonetheless, he was notorious and known for requiring married couples who were going through divorce to actually attend not only counseling, but also visit him, the judge, and talk about what's going on and talk through, do you really want to do this or do you really want to follow through with a divorce, and parse out, you know, this whole irreconcilable differences jargon, which is used all the time now for divorce. But he was blasted for it. I mean, the left went after him so hard. But what he was doing was really hopefully heading off what you're talking about here, which is this breakdown of the family. And there are, of course, other situations that can lead to anxiety and depression and mental health issues. But this judge was simply wanting to head off the children of these couples having to go through all kinds of emotional tolling if maybe this marriage could be repaired. But Dr. Barna, our counseling Divorce is at record levels, and even amongst Christians, unfortunately, the divorce rates are very similar to the secular world. But if people knew and were being clearly communicated to the effects of their decisions, meaning, hey, you know, mom and dad, do you understand that if you follow through with a divorce and your child is with either out of mom or dad, that this is a big deal, and here are the mental health effects to your children. I just think that's kind of being overlooked, minimized, and blamed on tertiary issues like chemical imbalances, when really, if we could get to the heart of this, Dr. Barnum, children are being brought up not only without a biblical worldview, but in very traumatic and sad situations.
Yeah, boy, you touch on a lot of points I'd love to respond to, Walker. You know, one of those is that part of the reason why things like divorce is happening is because in American society now, we don't believe in facts. We believe in feelings. And so we're making our decisions based on our latest feelings. We believe that there is no such thing as absolute moral truth. We believe that the Bible is a good book, sometimes a helpful book, but it's not a book of truth. It's a book of interesting ideas that sometimes deserve to be tried out. We believe that there's no way that you can know what's going to happen after you die. And so you start to put all these things together into your philosophy of life, and it leads you down the wrong path inevitably. And it leads you to things like abortion and divorce and, you know, maybe questioning your sexual identity, you know, all kinds of issues, because it's based on the latest feeling. And how are those feelings being manipulated? Through the arts and entertainment media. Our research is showing that the arts and entertainment media are the dominant worldview developers in America today. It ceased to be the family. It ceased to be the local church. And so it's not surprising we're being led astray, but you're exactly right. I mean, if we could get back on track and recognize, wait a minute, there are such thing as facts. There is such thing as absolute moral truth. There is a body of information that provides absolute moral truths for us, and it's called the Bible. That Bible was given to us by an all-knowing, all-powerful God who created you and me. He created the entire universe. He's still in charge of it. And if we are willing to work with him, he wants to work with us. And so it's a whole different way of understanding life. Most Americans are going down the wrong path.
Yeah, folks, we're gonna link to this report, by the way, the full report on our show notes from Dr. George Barna and Arizona Christian University and their research team that Dr. Barna leads there. But Dr. Barna, I wanted to ask you one more question about this. By the way, folks, if you missed the opening, we're talking about this latest study put out by Dr. Barna on how worldview may have effect on may be key to America's mental health crisis. And it reveals that biblical worldview as a crucial factor in combating is a crucial factor in combating anxiety, depression, and fear. But Dr. Barna, in the kind of summary report of this study, I read this paragraph that said, according among young adults, the statistics are particularly concerning. More than half of Generation Z, 56%, and Millennials, 49%. The report, they report experiencing anxiety, depression, or fear regularly. This number here, and then you go into how many have a biblical worldview, which is only about 1%. This report of basically, let's just say 50% of both Generation Z and Millennials experiencing anxiety, depression, or fear regularly, that's astonishing. I mean, I thought maybe 30%, but 50%, did that surprise you?
It did surprise me, and it really disappoints me that young people have fallen for so many of the lies that are being thrust upon them through the media. There is this almost a victim mentality that many of them have come to embrace, where they want others to feel sorry for themselves. They want to be given breaks because they're struggling with these kinds of issues. when in point of fact, and you know, I mean, I want to be sensitive, I want to be compassionate, I want to be loving, but the truth of the matter is, it's like, pick yourself up and get on with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're struggling with many of the same things that all of us have struggled with all of our lives. The difference is that I put my faith and trust and hope in Jesus. I read the Bible every day, and I come to understand how life works because God lays it out for me. Mm. He tells me I'm going to be persecuted. He tells me life is going to be tough. He tells me there's going to be suffering and where I can go for strength and hope and the kinds of wisdom that I need to get through the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the one hand, I feel bad for young people. On the other hand, it's like, wow, what a great time of opportunity for Christians to reach out to them and to show them, you know what, it's not as bad as you think. Yeah. There is a source of hope here. Let me lay it out for you. It's available to you for free. God wants to be part of your life and help you.
Amen. Well, Dr. George Bonna, appreciate your work over there at Arizona Christian University. And all the research you do, very insightful, and hopefully this will light a fire under believers to continue to witness and build up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Dr. Barnard, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Walker.
All right, appreciate that. This is from, once again, this report is from Dr. George Barna over at Arizona Christian University as he heads up their Cultural Research Center there at ACU. We'll link to this full report by Dr. Barna on our show notes when we publish the podcast here in a little while. The folks, this is some of the stats were shocking there, but others not so surprising. When we reject our Creator, when we reject the fundamental person that is God that created us and created the universe, and then we find ourselves lonely, anxious, and without purpose, what do you expect's going to happen? How do we expect this to go? It's not going to go well. And furthermore, when we reject the fundamental institutions that God Himself set up for man, i.e., marriage between a man and a woman, and family, the offspring of Adam and Eve, when you reject these fundamental institutions, and when you look at government as this secular force and not a God-given, God-created institution that is to be a force for good and to punish the evildoer, then we end up lost and in trouble and anxious and depressed and weary, what do you expect is going to happen? And as you look out on the landscape of America, our medical and scientific and psychology, which probably falls under medical, but these arenas of academics and academia, these institutions, folks, they are going to have to come to grips with the fact that a biblical worldview is the only way to happiness, to success, to flourishing, to moral sanity, to decency, to human rights, and the list goes on. If you want humans to do well and to flourish, you have to embrace God's design and God's created order, and also you have to submit yourself under the authority of God in all things.
Preborn celebrates that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Roe has been responsible for the slaughter of over 63 million babies. Now the decision to abort a child will be left in the hands of the states, and sadly, abortions will continue in the most liberal states. Over the past 16 years, Preborn has positioned their clinics in the top abortion cities where 50% of abortions occur. Preborn's work of saving babies' lives continues at an even greater level as they save babies' lives and defend their centers from the radical hate groups who want to shut them down.
Preborn's response is dependent on you, the pro-life community. Be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 will help to rescue five babies' lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com. All gifts are tax deductible.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.